It's that time on the radio here in Spain to talk to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. And, well, Brexit is on the horizon, is it not, Bill? We often talk about how important it is to review your investments once you move to Spain and how you may need to restructure them. Do the same apply to pensions? And if you've moved to Spain permanently, should you bring your pension with you?
Hi, Howard. Brexit, of course, is approaching, you're quite right, and it seems that none of us are yet entirely sure quite how it's going to pan out. There are voices talking about a no-deal Brexit, and then there's the Chequers Agreement, and there's all sorts of other alternatives. So, you know, whatever I say now is subject to whatever changes might take place. But it does make a lot of sense for British expatriates to adapt their general financial planning when they decide to live life in what is effectively a foreign country. We've all become very familiar with the issue that we're all part of a greater continental Europe, but nonetheless with different currencies, with different cultures, with different tax regimes, there are so many handicaps and so many pitfalls that you need to avoid in your new expatriate life, that, to be perfectly honest, you need to take proper advice. There isn't really a simple answer that I can give you, because everyone will have their own set of requirements, their own plans and their own goals. I mean, you know, leaving the UK with a pension fund in place is a starting point for advice, because clearly your pension fund would have been denominated and frankly mostly invested in sterling, whereas your liabilities for the future are going to be in euros, and so you immediately come across the confrontation of the exchange rate differences that will apply. And as you know, we've seen the euro gravitate between 1.68 and 1.06 euro, and frankly you don't want to be on the bad end of that. So you do need to consider how you deal with your pension once you decide to live outside of the sterling area.
So what are your options if you leave your pension in the UK?
Well, one option, and I don't recommend it, of course, because of the reasons I've just given, is that you don't do nothing and you access your UK pension from Spain. That is a choice that many people still adhere to. There's a kind of an understandable but illogical loyalty to a UK pension in the minds of many people, and they do nothing. If you've got what's known as a defined contribution scheme, one where you build up a fund of money and your pension will depend upon what that fund of money can buy, you can access those funds in a number of ways. You could, for example, take the cash from the pension fund in one lump sum or several withdrawals over a period of time. You could choose to receive a regular income until it runs out, which is known as drawdown. Or you could go out and purchase a lifetime income via an annuity. Those schemes, the defined contribution schemes, are a lot easier to deal with. And it's largely in the defined contribution area that some of the pension scams have taken place, because the fund itself is more accessible than what is known as a defined benefit scheme. Now, a defined benefit is different to a defined contribution in the sense that the benefit of your pension depends entirely upon your final salary, and as a proportion of your final salary, the pension is then paid. Now, these are generally speaking company pensions that provide a regular income for the whole of your lifetime. And whilst you can't usually access the benefits of such pension funds as cash, you can never run out of funds. The payments are going to continue for the rest of your life. And on death, there's often a reduced lifetime payment redirected to a surviving spouse, if you've chosen that option. And if you haven't started taking your defined benefit pension, this final salary pension, you have the option to transfer those benefits to a defined contribution scheme, one where it converts itself to a pot of money. And of course, as I said earlier, you can then access a much greater sum, if not the whole of your pension fund, which you can't do under the final salary scheme. But you've got to take care, because transferring out of a guaranteed lifetime pension fund with perhaps increases in the widow's benefit might mean that the alternative is less beneficial. But then you've got to look at the whole thing in the round. You want to look at where you can transfer the funds to if you take the cash out, what sort of tax rates will apply. And frankly, it's a highly specialised area of pensions advice. You have to be licensed in the UK, regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority, and you have to be qualified specifically in the giving of pensions advice to be able to advise anyone who's got a final salary scheme on what they might do with that fund. If you don't have that qualification, then you're not permitted to give advice legally, despite the fact there are still some scams going around that have given an aura of respectability to certain individuals who have then, I'm afraid, run off with the client's money.
Yeah. Well, with Brexit fast approaching, do you think it could affect pension payments to expatriates?
There is a bit of concern that some UK pension payments will stop next March in the event that we have a no-deal Brexit. I mean, if you think about it, under the rules that exist at present, where we are part of a harmonious, to put it mildly, European Union community, under the current rules, a lot of the UK financial pensions providers could lose their right to operate within the EU, and that potentially would make it illegal to pay Britons living in Spain, for example. But I think that outcome is likely to be avoided because I think new cross-border arrangements are being discussed and will almost certainly be established in time. A lot of British retirees in non-EU countries like Australia, Canada, South Africa, for example, they're able legally to receive their UK pension today without any problems. And you'd imagine that the European Union, despite the long-winded nature of that organisation and the way it goes about making decisions, you'd expect that the European Union would come to some terms of agreement about a receipt of pensions by UK expatriates. But if you are considering a transfer of your pension fund to a qualifying recognised overseas pension scheme, the sooner you get on with that, the better, because pension funds that have been transferred under that arrangement won't be affected by the Brexit change. But there is some risk, I feel, that the ability to transfer into a qualified recognised overseas pension scheme may be limited after the UK leaving the European Union, and that could be a significant disadvantage to people who reserve the value of their pension fund in the long term.
So, Bill, how important is it to consider the tax implications of your pension decisions?
Yeah, I think UK pensions, and for a moment putting aside UK government service pensions, which generally speaking are payable and taxed in the UK, UK pensions are generally only taxable in the country in which you're resident, in this case in Spain. If you are a Spanish resident, when you take out your what is conventionally known as your UK tax-free lump sum, the general income tax rates, if you are a Spanish resident, apply up to about 48% in places like Andalusia and the Comunidad de Valencia, and about 46% in Murcia. So what you have conceived to be a tax-free lump sum, if you're a resident of Spain and then you want to access that tax-free lump sum, unfortunately it's no longer tax-free, it's taxable in Spain as part of your general taxable income. Now, the same treatment applies to withdrawals from a CURE-OPS arrangement, but depending on your situation, if you are able to access the cash in your pension fund, it's generally speaking more beneficial to reinvest your UK pension fund value into an alternative Spanish tax-efficient structure that is compliant and conventionally used for this purpose in Spain. So you need to make sure that you've got your options right. Your pension is likely to be a central platform in your long-term financial security, and it's crucial to take advice from regulated providers to protect you against the pension scams I mentioned earlier. There's no question that this is a specialist field. This isn't a one-size-fits-all. There isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. And everyone, I think, would benefit from reviewing their arrangements before Brexit reshapes the pensions landscape.
Yeah. Talking about the pension scams, Bill, the UK Financial Conduct Authority launched an advertising campaign. So how can our listeners protect themselves without being caught out by pension fraud?
Well, it's very difficult because we all tend to feel that we're too clever for the scammers. But then if we were all too clever, there wouldn't be anyone getting caught. But there were over a quarter of a million, over 250,000 people who were scammed in total for more than 23 million in 2017. You do not want to be one of those victims. The scammers are very laudable, many of them trained in financial services but who've gone to the black side of the equation. You need to make sure when you for example, come to someone like Blevins Franks, that you are able to determine the person who's giving you the advice is regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority, is properly qualified by examination under the pensions regulations to make sure that he can or she can give you advice in relation to your pensions. You should ask for evidence of those qualifications. You can check the Financial Conduct Authority's website to make sure that the person giving you advice is properly regulated. If you're in any doubt at all, do not release information about your pension fund until you're absolutely 101% certain you're dealing with a bona fide advisor.
Yeah, and how can people get in touch with Blevins Franks, Bill?
Yeah, if you need to speak to somebody at Blevins Franks, indeed, if you have been given any sort of advice on pensions and you're not sure quite whether it's appropriate or whether it's dependable, contacting a Blevins Franks office will certainly give you an impartial judgment on the advice you've received. So go to the website at www.blevinsfranks.com and you'll find an office fairly close to where you live, I'm sure. And if you contact that office for a conversation or you talk to them over the phone about your concerns on your pension front, they'll certainly give you good advice.
Thank you very much, Bill. We'll talk at the same time in Spain next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a good week.